RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time to check in with our man in France, independent researcher, journalist, keen interest in European politics, geopolitics, NATO and international criminal investigations. And we've talked to Freddie many times now. Freddie Ponton, I think you're on vacation at the moment, Freddie, so we won't steal too much of your time.
Well, it's good to be on the show. It's always good. It's a pleasure to talk to you. So thanks for having me.
No, good to have you back. All right. Obviously, number one on the list here, Olympic opening ceremony controversy. And controversy is probably an understatement, I would say. Would you agree?
It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment as a French person because, you know, you want to be proud of your country. Yeah, you want to show the best that you have to offer. And that's really what's in question with this Olympic ceremony. The opening ceremony was just, there was some good part, you know, and not everything is bad, of course, but it's just way too much symbolism. There's way too many political messages supporting wokeism, you know, and that's the, this is what we all saw, you know, about millions, billions of people around the world have basically reacted to the show. So something happened there that was displeasing and that insulted people. People felt insulted, religious communities and so on. So I've looked into it very briefly in terms of understanding what Thomas Jolly, the person, the director, choreographic and artistic director, the person that actually put the show together. And he came on a couple of French national television explaining what happened. And he's pretty quite of a clear cut about that there was nothing to do with the scene from Leonardo da Vinci. You know, this has nothing to do with the Last Supper. This was something that has to do with Greek mythology and celebrating festivity, Dionysus, and all that kind of, Olympic kind of spirit. But I think people are smarter than that, and everybody understood what it meant. And I mean, I leave it like that. And then, of course, all the other, you know, signs, with the pale horse and, you know, a lot of symbology. For those that are aware of it, it's obviously triggering a little bit too much details and too much information. And it's disappointed that the Olympic Games has been used, you know, to vehicle a political and ideological message to the world. I think we could have done much better.
Yeah, what myself and many don't get is, that would have been obvious to anyone checking off the creativity that was going into that at any point of the process. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand how this could be received by the global audience. I don't know how it even passed, you know?
Yeah, it's the problem is what you put in your show and what's the message, you know? At the end of the day, that's what people perceive, you know, it doesn't matter what you meant, it's what people perceive, and the world perceives something they didn't like. And, you know, I think, and I tweeted that, you know, I say, you know, an apology is in order because it doesn't matter what your intent was. People felt insulted, you insulted the faith, and is, you know, a lot of Christians around the world, you know, especially in France, just to start, you know, it's the most represented faith in France. We're Roman Catholic, you know, so even the Archbishop in France reacted and was like, what the hell is going on? So even if you're an Archbishop, he's saying, you know, we feel insulted, that he might have seen something that everyone else around the world has saw. And then, of course, the you know, all these drag queen and all these kind of integrations of wokeism, you know, it's just, you got children, you got parents, you got elders, you got everybody's watching that. And we can see clearly that this is not a show you want to, you know, you want to bring your children in front of. And that's why the Olympic Games removed the video from their website. And many people actually in many countries edited actually the opening game to take out all this nonsense, you know. So it's wokeism in this place, and using the Olympic game is hijacking the Olympic game. And that's just, we missed a great opportunity for France to kind of shine again, because we made a lot of mistakes. And I think that people wanted to see something else. And we got more wokeism. That's what we got. And that's all we feel. We feel disappointed. It's embarrassing. because we have so much more to offer in our governments, and you know, just progress is left is a disaster for us. It's a disaster. It's embarrassing.
I won't make it worse than it could be by going on about it. So we'll leave that there. And now, what about what are your thoughts on the attempted assassination of Donald Trump? Because I know that you're interested, you know, in an investigative way in these kind of and this is huge. What do you make of that?
Look, there's a bottom line here for any investigators. You know, we don't have any motives because we don't, and we are not being told the motives, you know, so it's all speculation at this stage. And if you really take the time to look at the amount of evidence that we have very little. We have very little to work with. That's my impression. We can make all the assumptions we want. We can come up with all the various narrative and scenarios. What matters is what you have that you can take to court as forensic evidence to secure a conviction. That's what forensic is all about. And as an investigator here, you will just notice few details that is enough for you to take a direction, because that's what you do, you know. If you don't have a motives, clearly you're going to want to start to look at the obvious, and the obvious here is someone left the door open for the assassin to, or the would-be assassin, to walk in. And that implies basically two scenarios, is whether it was gross negligence or whether it was malicious incompetence. And these are the two scenario possibles. So from that, you can analyze some of the reactions already provided on national television in the United States, some you know, inquiries and committees and House, Congress, hearings. And we had Christopher Wray doing what he does best, which is taking people on a ride. It's not providing any answers. And then on the other side, you have obviously the emergency service unit, SWAT sniper team, has been thrown under the bus. Because of the major issues, and that's really the main one, is that our security perimeter is at 120, 140 yards. It's not a security perimeter for the United States Security Service. They have protocol, they have standard procedures, and none of that was respected on that day. And the advance team didn't do a job at all because they were too busy with Jill Biden in Pittsburgh, which has three times more details than a former president of the United States. So, you know, there's something here that just doesn't fit the bill, if you will. And from my own personal view, and that's my own opinion at this stage, there's a couple of things that really, really bother me in this. And and the first one will be that we need to identify, we need to have clear evidence of who's the person that was killed on that roof, right? We need to see forensic evidence of that. We need to see forensic pathology reports, and we need to see the bullets. We haven't seen any bullets. We're told they were bullets. Not cartridge, bullets. So I want to see the bullets.
You're talking about bullets?
On the roof.
On the roof, yeah.
Yeah, on the roof where the would-be assassin was supposed to be, you know. So he's lying down there, he's handcuffed, you know, he's supposed to be dead. Why would you handcuff a dead person? And when you're a sniper, you don't leave your target. You take him down, he goes down, and you keep it in your scope. That's the bottom line. So they would have known if he's dead, because if he spring back to life, he's going to get a second one, yeah. And then, yeah, the rifle, I mean, it's M4556, yeah, it's quite clear cut, you know, as far as the ballistic report will provide more information. But it's interesting because we know the U.S. Secret Service used the MK-13 sniper rifle, and they all fitted with Night Force Attacker 735, you know, 56 scope. And then the spotter there used a Raptor range, so these guys are very well equipped with top-of-the-range gears, you know. The problem is how could these guys can basically fire 8 shots at a former president before these guys respond. It's unheard of. There is an explanation for that. And we need to find it. We need to really understand what's going on here, because right now, the way it looks like someone allowed the assassin to get in. That's all I'm saying, because I don't like to make assumptions based on evidence. But someone let the door open.
To leave a door open, you've got to know there's someone to leave a door open for.
Well, it implies pre-knowledge, Paul. That's exactly what it is.
Wow. Okay, Freddie, it's a quick one today. Thank you for dropping in. I guess it's what's not said that points in a certain direction, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, any military will tell you, law enforcement. So I spoke to a few people. We're all on the same page. Let's put it that way.
All right. Okay. Good to hear. Well, enjoy your vacation, Freddie. We'll talk again soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Thank you. All the best.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.